one thing is that, well, there's so much careful. That means the book is reacting.
Yeah.
I don't know why they are so careful, but they may not come. What is this?
Yeah, sometimes they specifically say, the others may come, but that one man means it. We don't want him here. He gets out twice as many books as anybody else.
So, many books are. Not many books. Why they are so much upset of distributing these books?
It means the book is potent.
Hmm?
It means that the books are potent. That we're affecting the material energy.
Everywhere, government, India, especially, they do not want this moment.
Yeah. But the general tendency in this...
People are appreciating Krishna consciousness catches.
Yeah.
Catches on.
You are now appreciating.
The general people...
Is that a recent article?
Yeah. The general people are taking it up more and more. I mean, there's a growing number of interested persons.
That is.
Not only are there numbers of us increasing, but there are many people who come once a week, once every month, who get magazine regularly. That number is increasing beyond what we can imagine, because it's due to the book distribution problem. We are coming due to two things. First, the books, and second, the association of devotees. But there's a general mass of people that are coming who are just getting the book, and they're beginning to follow simply on account of reading your books.
This is a big article?
Yeah, two-thirds of the magazine.
Wow.
There's another magazine article.
Mm.
You gotta
follow this guy.
Where is he?
I don't know him.
There's another, a very special magazine came out, and I asked Radhavallabha to bring it and present it to you. It's from New York, but I wanted him to read some of the things. He read the whole thing. It's a whole magazine devoted to meditation groups. And they have featured our society as the best. It's clear by... Our society was featured more than any others. They mentioned Maharishis, so many others. But they gave us... Yeah. They gave us the most space in the magazine.
They did it in sections. There was a bit about kirtan, there was a section about shaving the head, there's a whole section about Krishna prasadam, how to offer it, cook it, and everything. It's very nice.
He went out. He's getting them ready. He wants to read you certain things in the magazine. He likes to prepare things to discuss with you, Radhavallabha. Controversial topics. Because he's it's so nice. He reads things so that on the walks he can throw out scientific arguments and other things. He likes to do that. Mm. It's really funny. There's one article, one advertisement in the back of his magazine, Meditation Magazine. It says, special offer, send in $25. And you'll learn how to do transcendental meditation in one evening. And if you're not satisfied, you get your money back, but you get to keep your own private mantra. This book is a real... It really shows you what the whole scene on spiritual groups is, how phony they are, except for ours. Ours appears very legitimate from the magazine. But these others are complete hypocrisy.
Especially Kane's Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Oh, he hates him.
They did an experiment and they tried out one chance. He claims that you have to have a special mantra that comes from him, and that will give you the bliss from transcendental meditation. But they did it. But they did experiments where they just made up any mantra, in just a few words, and concentrated on that, and the effect was exactly the same.
Sleep. Sleep.
They enter into
semi-conscious.
A very low conscious level. Metabolism is very much slowed down. Breathing and heart rate and everything goes right down. And they stay like that, completely relaxed for 20 minutes. And then for a few minutes they come out. That is the...
We can also do that. We'll hit them with our shoes. 20 minutes they can go unconscious. Breathe, we don't charge.
This opening comment in this magazine is very... good. It says, what is surprising about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is not its conquest of the West, the USA in particular. The cultural impact of this institution, born on the shoulders of Westerners in the main, has already reached amazing proportions in India.
Wow. That's nice. My voice.
That's nice.
Sure. That's why they're afraid of you in India, Brahma. The government is very much afraid. Well, how will they try to stop us?
Through restrictive hard man. We could let them come.
Someone has that door.
Here you go. Oh, good. They haven't found the other door yet. Oh, that's good. Sir, Dhammanakaru? Dhammanakaru wanted to see that boy, Arjun Malik.
Yeah,
I sent someone to look for him, but they haven't come back. You haven't seen him? It would be nice, because probably wanted to see him. Do you know where
you know him? Arjun Malik.
Yeah, he was staying.
I only saw him just this morning.
Let's find him.
But I have no idea where he's staying.
703 is the real name.
All right.
Sir, down over there.
This first paragraph recognizes how in the last 2 years, especially, our esteem has greatly improved. It says, one has to see one for oneself.
That's Adaji Vatanya.
Oh, yeah, very well.
He says that Bhaktivedanta Swami has smeared the black garment on all other Swamis.
Black garment. You know, Sajji
yeah.
From Bombay. he used to get very angry. He said, I like your Prabhupada very much, but why does he have to criticize all of our gurus?
Now he's yelling.
Because across Maidan you were speaking very boldly that all these others are cheating.
Yes, they're cheating. Is there any meaning that you pay so many dollars and take them from?
In this meditation book.
Mantra is such a thing for business.
In this meditation magazine, one of the things that they sell, the special techniques, is you take a ping pong ball. Ping pong, you know that, table tennis? And you cut it in half and you place the two halves over your eyes. And then that is called samadhi.
Who
I'll show you the picture when he paints the magazine. They show a person very seriously meditating on two halves of a ping pong ball. You have to pay for it.
Like to go up on the roof today?
No, Prabhupada said the sun is too much.
It's too much sun.
Tosan Krishna, he's been doing all of our... He's practically done the whole arrangement for the Ratha Yatra. Jainana's building, and he has done all of the permits, advertisement, publicity, the poster, working at least 15 hours a day for the last month. very hot. Make it a very successful festival. I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada, that Hansa Dutta was telling me that he is planning to make...
I think this article was dictated by Hansa. Now interviewer can.
Yeah. He was telling me that he was planning to make thousands of men convert thousands of Indians. So I was wondering, if thousands of Indians join us, how will the government feel? The government will...
They cannot say.
Really? They won't stop us.
If they want to stop it, it will increase.
Right. Especially in Bengal. As soon as the Bengalis know that something is against the government, then they get very vehement.
It's encouraging when they try to resist.
They call us shipes. Says, what urges the shipes and mem shipes? That's how they refer to us.
Our Mahapur temple is known as Shaib. Vrindavan, English.
English, my dear.
Angrezi.
Gopal told me that that the guest house is doing better. He said that only 11 rooms right now are occupied by paying guests. And out of the overall 44 rooms, only 4 rooms are occupied by devotees. The devotees have been shifted elsewhere. And Gunanava has been managing.
Stoker Krishna.
Yes.
He's back in Los Angeles.
He does not stay there.
No. Family, too much. Phew. This picture of Ralph Yatrin in London. It's very impressive.
It's smaller off, Rock.
Yeah, palanquins.
But the crowd is bigger than ever.
Yeah, huge crowd.
That's when we, Tosan, isn't that the picture that you showed them to show what our carts look like? We told the police to get our permit that our carts were like those little small ruts that we could get the permit. He said that we were having afraid with hand-pulled floats. When they thought of hand-pulled floats, they thought of little wagons.
You're gonna get a shock.
He's breaking the news so soon.
We did that in Melbourne. But then gradually we let him see.
Yeah. Right.
Then they took us out for a trial run and everything.
Yeah. Not down in the account book.
He presents us as a bona fide Vaishnava, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vaishnava cult.
Yeah.
Says that the ISKCON center, the Mayapur, build it. The ISKCON plans to build a Mayapur a world center for Krishna consciousness. It will comprise an enormous temple.
This has been very much advertised.
When will we begin?
I try to get the land.
The land is coming along? Land is coming along?
Yeah. Government.
Are they? They're going ahead with it.
Two officers are in great favor.
Yes.
One Mr. Chaudhary, one Mr.
Ganguly.
Ganguly.
It says that the temple will be so big that India has never seen such a huge temple.
Chaudhary's wife has chanted that if you are a Hindu, then you'll do it.
Sure, husband.
Oh.
About it quotes you as saying that how you began this movement. Two boys join you, Chuck and Bruce.
Ramananda
and Achyutananda. Charles Barnett and Bruce Sharp.
Charles is called Chap.
Yes.
What is that?
Well, it's like a bad query. If you're called Raj Kachori.
Stuffed with dal, potato, tamarind sauce, and sour cream.
She's making up for lost time.
Where is that fish?
In Kailash Saksari. Huh? In Kailash Saksari is cooked.
Oh.
At least I learned something, you know.
From that cook.
Oh, look at that.
Kailash is cook.
Yeah.
You are very smart. India, a girl, if she could cook nicely, then she is funny. There is a ceremony, it is called Bhovab. After marriage, the girls come to her other girlfriend, and there is a ceremony. Bhovat. That bhovat, the girl is to cook and distribute this food to all the relatives of her husband. If they say it is excellent, then she is accepted in this marriage.
What if they say it is not excellent?
Nobody says. When the ceremony is made.
The social system in India is that if I do not accept your food, then I do not take you in my inner circle. You remain outside.
It's a great offense if you offer someone prasadam and they refuse.
Yes. That means I'm not accepting you as intimate. And if we accept, then we cannot deny his friendship. About 100 years ago in Bengal, in the aristocratic circle, the guest invited and very sumptuously food distributed, and then the gentleman, guests, they come and see only. They simply saw it is very nicely done. They will not eat and go. Then the food stuff will be distributed among the servants. This was Aristarchus. They will not eat, they will simply see and appreciate. Oh, so many varieties, very nice. Then they go. And the household servants and all.
Why didn't they eat it?
That was in custom.
That is a dry philosophy.
You have seen this article?
No.
That news after mass. No?
I haven't seen the newspaper.
Might have some more.
Hmm?
Might have some more. Been taking pictures, photographs.
Prabhupada explained that the picture they took of Mars. They now say that there's, they pointed out that there's a similar canyon, the Grand Canyon, in Arizona. So they were reporting like it, and Prabhupada said this is an indication that actually it is a picture.
Yeah.
They have unintentionally let out the information that actually the photo is simply a photograph of the Grand Canyon. What is that?
Can you give an example? There's a man in his room at night and he hears a noise. So he says, "Oh, what's that sound?" And then back comes the reply, "I'm not stealing." So no one asked the man to say what he was doing, but he unintentionally let it out what he was actually doing there. He just asked what the noise was, but he said, "I'm not stealing." So in the same way, no one asked them to say anything about Arizona. But they let it out.
They have disclosed, unintentional. That is going on. It is beyond their dream to go either to the moon planet or Mars. It is not possible. Not nowadays, I said it.
10 years ago, I guess.
10 years ago.
Well, we have a difficult time. The scientists about this moon thing. We're going to have a difficult time about this moon and the sun relationship.
Sunday, Monday.
This is a lifelong process.
Nobody could answer. It's a true question. According to Vedic astronomical calculation, the sun is first.
But does it have to do anything with the distance, Prabhupada? Does it have to do anything with the distance? Where the sun is recorded first.
Well, according to that, if sun is first, then it's 93 million miles. And if the moon is still away, 1,600,000 miles. It becomes 95 miles, 95 million miles. How they are going 95 millions of miles in 4 days?
No, on that ground it is reasonable to know that they couldn't go there. But
that's what I say, they couldn't go there. Their asset is Arizona, that's all. All this propaganda was done. And at last they wanted to satisfy by delivering some sand and rock. But actually the business was not done.
They say even if there's life on another planet, at most it could be bacteria.
Well, bacteria is there, why not other?
Well, the thing is that if they say that there's other life, then they'd have to show it. But they don't know what's there because they've never been. So they have to show either there's no life and here's some rocks, which they got from this planet, or at most there's only bacteria, which they can also produce here, and say it's there. But they can't show any advanced life because they don't know.
They've never gone. Simply black. That is my conclusion.
Whenever they don't know something, they say it doesn't exist.
I've got evidence. Our basic literature.
We have other informations other than the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have other evidences.
We have evidence from astronomy, Jyotish Shastra. Jyotish Shastra. Where from you are coming?
New Jersey, Colorado.
Where is your child?
He's downstairs.
With whom? He's there.
With her brother.
So, what is that?
This is the magazine I was telling you about. Transcendental Meditation Today.
That is the name of the magazine?
Yes. The feature article is...
This is our...
Big article all about our society.
There's an African.
Oh, my channels.
Oh, yeah, well, Prabhupada, there's Acharya Founder. Tells all about you and your books.
It especially mentions your books.
This is a whole page devoted about your books.
This is a doll downstairs.
Hare Krishna meditation. Who is Krishna?
And
the Krishna cut. It tells about the haircut, Sika.
Krishna cut.
Then in the back, there's more articles about Krishna consciousness. Here. Food for the gods. Prasadam.
Describes what standard we have for making the prasadam, how you can't taste it, and you have to be very clean.
Here's that. I remember I was telling you about that meditation on the ping pong balls?
Oh.
Gansfield effect. They give it a name and make it sound very important and then sell it for $1,000.
What is that?
Gansfield. They say the Gansfield effect.
Who is Gansfield? Somebody? No.
Look at that Maharishi article.
There's an article about Maharishi. There's some points in here. It says, prophet without honor. This man hates Maharishi. He says he's completely bogus.
His feature is helpful.
It says, prophet without any honor. He quotes you in here.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
He says, Swami Prabhupada, spiritual leader of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and Bill Fale, Durban, South Africa, of the Natal Mercury Reporter, had the following dialogue. Bill Fale, do you think that transcendental meditation is helping people? Prabhupada, they do not know what real meditation is. Their meditation is simply a farce, another cheating process by the so-called swamis and yogis. So everyone is talking about meditation, but no one knows what meditation really is. These bluffers use the word meditation, but they do not know the proper subject for meditation. They are simply talking bogus propaganda. Bill Phil, but isn't meditation helpful in getting people to think straight? Prabhupada, no. Real meditation means to achieve a state in which the mind is saturated by God consciousness.
This is Vedic Bhagavad. And when one man's mind is fully absorbed in the super soul, Vishnu, so that is called meditation. And Bhagavad Gita confirms, Yogi Namati Sarvesa Madhugata Antara Sadhyavana Bhagati Yuma Swami Yukta. This is a Vedic verse. This is asking some light, some this, some that.
Yeah, some quotes here from people describing Maharishi's meditation. It says, a Denver housewife said, I turned off when I found that TM, that's what they call transcendental meditation, I turned off when I found that TM is trying to sell me meditation the same way Procter & Gamble sells me soap.
Gamble?
Big soap company.
Procter & Gamble manufacture all kinds of soaps and detergents.
Oh.
So she's saying that the way they sell transcendental meditation is the same as the way they sell soap.
Very commercialized.
They have here proof that his mantra is no different than any ordinary sound. It says, in a Stanford Research Institute experiment, a group of TM trainees was compared to a control group who had been taught a fake mantra that they believed would be effective. In both groups, some subjects were able to bring unpleasant psychosomatic symptoms under control. Three of these dropped out of the TM training group. Their symptoms returned. Two dropped out of the control group. Their symptoms came back too. Evidence like that suggests that whatever works in the TM system, it does not depend upon the mystical mantra.
Let their men come and talk with our men in the public meeting. No. Then people will understand what is the difference.
They have a catalog of Transcendental Meditation University. This take and it's very well done.
But yeah. The university
nice scholars and anything. First class. It's made a lot of money and a lot of thoughts of to bring to attract the students.
It says their university is just closed down.
Oh, the one in Iowa?
No, the one in Mallorca, in Spain.
No, this the headquarters is Iowa, the main university. We saw the catalog, contains everything, all sciences.
This article explains that when he first appeared in public, he presented himself as a Hindu representative of Sankaracharya's cult. But then later on, he concocted this transcendental meditation, and then he presented it as a science so that he could get government grants to teach it in schools and things like this.
They have another guru here, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh.
Oh, he has come.
Yes.
Oh, his group is big here. He's very popular in America.
Really? 18,000 disciples. He says, it does not matter to whom one surrenders. The relevance is in the act of surrendering. But because the human mind sees things in terms of relationships, surrender to a guru is often useful. The guru is a step towards the impersonal divine, a step towards surrender to the existence.
He makes a comment about sannyas as well, I think.
He initiates sannyas. He calls himself Neo Sannyas. And at initiation, a sannyasi receives a new name, an ochre robe, and a mala, a string of beads holding a locket that frames a photograph of Bhagwan.
Bhagwan Rajneesh. Not Bhagwan.
One says it's not a necessity of having a spiritual master. He says, the picture is not mine. Had it been mine, I would have hesitated to put it there. The picture only appears as mine.
That's his word, Joe. The picture is of himself. He says, it is not me. If it was me, I wouldn't have put it there. It only appears to be me.
They want something very cheap and easy to attain.
And here's his method. They engage in breathing. It says, the really successful meditator sounds like an exhausted sea lion. He says, if you feel like it, feel like dancing, dance. Laugh, scream, sing. Express your love, your hate, your anger, your jealousy. Do not condemn what happens. Do not condone it. Just go mad. Express whatever is within you, totally, intensely. And here's his mantra. Hoo, hoo, hoo. That's his mantra.
What? They were doing this in Bhopal. In Bhopal, we were there when we had our jeeps. So in the same place we were staying, they let this group, Rajneesh, do it. So they were going with that mantra, hoo, hoo. So we were standing out from the balcony shouting, Krishna, that's it. Every morning they would do that meditation. And we would answer, Krishna.
They call his method chaotic meditation.
Is it?
That's the heading. It says chaotic meditation.
That's the name of it. After they go, hoo, hoo, hoo.
What they have written about us?
About us?
Oh. It's a big article.
Everything is favorable. They didn't say one bad thing about us.
It says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The group above are performing a kirtan, the chanting of the names of Krishna. the Vedic deity they believe to be the supreme personification of Godhead. They are shown before the doorway of One Astor Plaza in Manhattan's Times Square area. Their chant, increasingly familiar on street corners in all large cities across the country, runs, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. These Krishna devotees belong to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, less formally known as the Hare Krishna Movement, and still less formally to the man in the street as the Hare Krishnas. Actually, Prabhupada, one...
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, they think that we're chanting... They think that we're worshipping a person, some material man by the name of Hare Krishna.
Yeah. They think that your name
name is Hare Krishna.
Boston, they once wrote an article in the newspaper that Boston Globe had said, and then I walked into the temple room and there he was, a big picture of Hare Krishna sitting on a big throne.
Hare is an English...
Hare is an English.
Yes. Should I read more?
Mm-hmm.
There are several hundred thousand members of the movement, throughout the world. 10,000 in New York City alone. Actually, there are at least 10,000 followers. Of these, about 150 are full-time students and live at 340 West 55th Street, a 11-story former Josephine Baird home of the Roman Catholic Carmelite nuns. This was a nunnery. Carmelite. The Hare Krishna Center on West 55th Street draws about 500 lay devotees and curiosity seekers from the metropolitan area every Sunday. Open house begins at 5 p.m., a great drawing card is the serving of prasadam, food specially prepared for and offered to Lord Krishna before being distributed to the public. The eating of prasadam, see the article Food of the Gods on a later page, is believed by members of the movement to convey important spiritual benefits. Example, a cleansing of karma due to past sins. Movement members are not unaware of the more immediate and mundane effect. Prasadam is our secret weapon, said Alankar Das, spokesman for the center. It gets them in here, and then they can get the message. Less tersely, Tamal Krishna Goswami, India-based senior member of the movement, has said of prasadam in his country. They think I'm an Indian here. Yeah. If anyone comes around to our prasadam distribution program, that means he is hungry. If he is hungry, that means he cannot listen to our philosophy. If his hunger is not satisfied, he'll never become Krishna consciousness. That is the point. If we just went around with a program of speaking and kirtan, they'd come once or twice, but they wouldn't see its practical value. But if you give them prasadam daily with kirtan speaking, eventually you can convince them. Look, this is our most practical way of life. Why don't you come and live with us completely and work with us? That's a quote from an article in Bhaktivedanta. Though food is far more plentiful in the United States than in India, prasadam appeal seems to work its magic here just as well. The entire movement began only 10 years ago in the storefront temple in Manhattan's Lower East Side. Today, it owns the largest publishing house of Hindu classics, many in demand for leading university courses. The Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in Los Angeles, the world's largest, last year's gross of $1 million, incense-producing Spiritual Sky Scented Products Company, and Krishna Fashions Incorporated, a wholesale clothing manufacturer. An important portion of the movement's income comes from the contributions of lay devotees who are successful businessmen. More comes from street corner solicitation of alms by devotees during kirtan. How significant the last is was shown recently by the closing down of elevator service in the New York Center. Quote, a lot of us are going on pilgrimage to India, said Alankar Das. There won't be many around to beg. These elevators cost us $2,200 a month to run. So we're cutting down, except for essential services. We don't do that anymore. That was the previous management. Someone had the idea that if you turn off the elevator, that's very good. But I told them, if you're not going to run the elevator, then why did you move here? They had people walking up 11 stories. It was crazy. Just to say. Anyway. These include moving foodstuffs and milk into the building. Much of the food comes from a 350-acre ISKCON-owned dairy farm in Academia, Pennsylvania, one of the six similar facilities in this country and Canada. They show pictures of devotees in temple, devotees taking prasadam, and two lady devotees. The yoga says under the captions, monks take breakfast by hand in rows on the dining area floor. And here it says, sarried women, devotees, dwell in cloister atmosphere of the center. Then the yoga of devotion. Tilak of clay paste marks the devotee as a member of ISKCON sect. Central shrine in the temple is the focal point of twice a day services. Picture of Radha Govind. Our life is our meditation, said a Sikkhud saffron-clad monk in the Hare Krishna center. Everything we do is offered to Sri Krishna. But in addition to that, there is the personal chanting, most slung from the devotee's neck. He often counts the beads without taking his hand from the pouch. In the early hours, the Hare Krishna center buzzes with a droning sound, difficult to identify by the stranger who does not know that it comes from the monks who are beginning their required 16 rounds. They've given everything very detailed. The personal chanting sometimes occurs in unusual situations, while escorting a visitor to the center, while waiting to complete a phone call, or even during pauses in a conversation. Devotees always chanting. The Maha Mantra is the only mantra needed, the devotee says. Besides the 16 rounds, devotees are expected to observe four rules. They must abstain from meat, eating, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. Illicit sex is defined as any sexual act other than that intended for procreation. Sex outside of marriage is forbidden. Married full-time devotees may have a sexual relationship once a month at a time propitious for procreation. All the devotees' activities are regarded as bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion. He regards everything he does as service to God. The name he is given at initiation is followed by the word das, a servant. Full-time ISKCON devotees adopt Vedic dress, one objective being to keep others aware of Krishna. Women wear saris, the men dhotis. Both may wear shawls. The men shave their heads except for a single lock of hair at the back. See the article, The Krishna Cut. The lock, called a sika, identifies the followers of Krishna. Actually, no one can imitate us because no one wants to give up their hair. So no one will try to make believe they are. Shaving the head announces renunciation of material pleasures. The tilak is a mark made with clay, two narrow vertical stripes on the forehead meeting in a triangular swatch on the bridge of the nose. It identifies the body as a temple to be used only in the service of God. Full-time students follow a rigorously monastic life. They arise at 4 a.m. in the morning, begin 4 hours of prayer and chanting. At 9 o'clock, they have breakfast, seated cross-legged on mats on the floor. The men eat apart from the women. During the day, devotees work at various preaching programs or at regular jobs. At 7 p.m., devotional services are held in the center's temple. In Manhattan, this features an ornate shrine, including representations of Krishna and his consort Radhe. Both are costumed sumptuously with elaborate care. Both wear festoons of flowers. Visitors are cautioned, when you go in the temple, remember that these statues you see are not representations of the deities. They are the deities. Krishna is in everything. Krishna is everywhere. Temple Kirtan. There's a picture. 11-story New York sect center is former Carmelite Baird home. Picture of the temple. Services in the temple are attended by about 500 every Sunday. Many of these are from New York's Hindu population. Frequently, husbands bring pregnant wives, dedicating their unborn child to Krishna. The kirtan begins with a chanting of the Maha Mantra, slowly at first and melodiously. Later, the chant will speed up as the spirit of the devotion spreads. Often, the most rapid and intense chanting is done by a hardcore knot of dhotied men before the curtains of the shrine. Devotees get in one group to start.
Hardcore.
Hardcore devotees. The rhythm approaches that of an express train. And the atmosphere is apt to remind the lay visitor of an old-fashioned football rally. Some of the onlookers try to keep up with the central group, clapping their hands, swaying their bodies, throwing arms upwards, and among the younger, adapting modern dance steps to the rhythm. When the shrine curtains are drawn back, devotees kneel and press their foreheads.
Who has introduced this peculiar dancing?
It evolved.
Well, we were speaking about that the other day, actually. It's changed from the original dancing that you showed us to something else. Too much like the modern dance.
Mm-hmm. I think this is not good.
No.
You should recognize.
Mm-hmm.
I read on.
The service has become, what way should we dance, Srila Brahma, with our hands outstretched? Sometimes the devotees like to jump around. Is that all right?
In ecstasy, one can do anything. That is another. But artificially,
yeah.
To do something is not.
But if one feels like jumping, it is all right.
Anything artificial is not required. Yeah.
So running back and forth is not.
No. That should not be an artificial.
We don't dance for show.
No.
We dance for the pleasure of the
deities. We're not professional dancers.
Oh, that's.
The services become so frenetic that the almost folksy, matter-of-fact preaching of a Swami makes a stark contrast. Quote, some people are against us because they say we teach children to smile. Well, isn't that too bad? We make children smile. We're bad. We try to teach them that life should be a joyful thing. We're evil. Well, that's too bad, isn't it?
Well, he has not returned me the key.
Push to Krishna.
Still more.
Yes. The service is after the sermon, more chanting. Now it really becomes frantic and even compelling. Many curious first-time visitors begin to take up the Maha Mantra chant. The hardcore group at the shrine seems to be completely carried away. The terrazzo floor literally vibrates. Gradually, the crowd begins to thin. Other things are happening in the center. On the third floor, there is a traditional Vedic play in costume, acted with enthusiasm.
Prabhupada's gone downstairs somewhere, Srila Prabhupada. He's not waiting.
I'm getting everyone together to go out on Sunday.
Says here, on the second floor there is a store which attracts many visitors who want to buy Indian costumes, jewelry, and movements books. Prasadam is served in the basement restaurant. Visitors eat at tables in the same area where monks had breakfast on the floor. The prasadam features Hindu dishes served in the compartments of plasticized papered mess trays. Then it goes on. Now there's another article about you. Why are they holding the kirtan?
They're getting the kirtan party together to go out on high mountain down the Times Square. I told them to go out and move in the area by the door.
मैं आपसे बाद में आके मिलूंगा फिर मुझे अभी जाना है आपसे थोड़ी बात करनी है अब मैं आपसे आऊँ शाम को
Prabhupada, Acharya founder, born Abhay Charan Dey in India in 1895. The founder, future founder Acharya, spiritual leader of ISKCON, came under the spiritual direction of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, ascetic, scholar, and preacher who had devoted his life to the spread of Krishna consciousness. 3 years later, shortly before he died, Bhakti Siddhanta ordered Abhay to spread the Krishna faith in the English language. One of the ways that Abhay, now known as Prabhupada, one who at whose feet masters sit, did that was to begin to translate the classic Vedic literature. But it was not until 30 years after he was charged by his spiritual mentor that he was able to make a trip to the United States. He arrived in Boston in September 18, 1965. A spry but grim-faced passenger of 70 years on the steamer Jaladuta. He had 40 rupees in his pocket and a metal suitcase full of his books and translations. Finding his way to New York City, he set up a storefront temple at 26 Second Avenue in the East Village section. Gradually, he drew a small coterie of students around him, mostly through his preaching in Tompkinson Park. As his movement grew, he found backers among his converts. Hare Krishna centers were established in Boston, Buffalo, and San Francisco. An appreciation of Prabhupada's Vedic translations by American university authorities, Columbia, Princeton, Yale, professors, among others, permitted the establishment of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in Los Angeles. The trust launched a promotion of Prabhupada's translations and original works under the logo of the Living Library of Transcendental Knowledge. Remarkably, in the face of a worldwide economic recession, the Trust's book and magazine sales reached 9 million in 1975, up 34.5% over 1974. Some of this was due to the determined promotion of groups such as the 100-man Radha Damodar Group, which crisscrosses the country in 6 Greyhound-type buses and 10 vans, giving lectures and kirtans at college university campuses. Now 81 years old, Prabhupada still works at his writings and the spiritual direction of the Hare Krishna movement. His translation of Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, the most widely used in the Western world, is in great demand by professors of Indology and Vedic literature.
He is giving advertising for his book.
Oh, yeah. Very favorable.
The amazing thing is that he's an impersonalist. He's an impersonalist.
Impersonalist?
The man who wrote all these articles, he's an impersonalist.
This is a picture of him.
Oh. He's American?
Oh, yeah.
He thinks there are different types of meditation that all work. And ours is one type, bona fide, that works. There are also other types.
The article goes on. I don't know if you want to hear it all. You want to hear it? Okay. Here's this thing called, Who is Krishna? Krishna,
viewed by ISKCON as the supreme personification of Godhead, is said to have many pastimes in which he assumes different appearances. One such is that of Gopalji, the cowherd boy. See picture. Cowherd boy. He can appear in other forms such as four-armed Narayan. Most often, Krishna is portrayed as having light blue skin and by Western standards a soft and effeminate physique. He is said to be full in the six opulences: beauty, strength, fame, wealth, knowledge, and renunciation. He is said to be all attractive. Krishna incarnates on one planet after another in an infinite universe. The last time he appeared on Earth as Krishna was 5,000 years ago. He will not return in that form for another 400,000 years. But 500 years ago, he appeared in his incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, who taught people of the Maha Mantra and started the Krishna consciousness in its present state. According to the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna hungers for the devotion of his followers. Very nicely put. This devotion, in its purest sense, takes the form of bhakti yoga, the dedication of one's every action to Krishna. Thus, to use one's sense for one's own pleasure is to deny Krishna devotion and accumulate negative karma. Krishna has a consort, Radhe, but she is considered only as an extension of his own pleasure principle, since he is all things. It is through her intercession that devotees seek favors from Krishna. According to ISKCON, Krishna is the same God worshipped as Jehovah, Allah, and so on. That is the explanation of who Krishna is.
He can refer back to Godhead. He can refer back to Godhead.
Yeah, it is. Good.
Very good. Then is a part called Hare Krishna meditation. The Hare Krishnas practice bhakti, the yoga of devotion. They have their Maha Mantra, continual recitation of which will have a meditative effect. By integrating recitation of the mantra with a life of rigidly formulated devotional activities, it would seem that devotees actually live their meditation. Such a life of living meditation is not without parallel in secular fields. It is believed that the spiritual form of alchemy served this purpose. That is, an alchemist repeated the same experimental routine over and over until it became automatized, though still requiring some slight personal involvement. He's getting a little far out here. It was expected that the result... Yeah, this is material. Anyway, practitioners of Western magical disciplines sought for similar results. Meditation takes effect in terms of the ambience in which it is practiced. In the Hare Krishna movement, there are certain to be transcendental experiences. They would be in accord with Vedic teachings, but their exact nature has not proven easy of discovery, since devotees insist that their sole aim in life is to be of service to Krishna. We're not interested in experiencing all of these special things.
No.
Very nice.
That's very nice.
Very nice point. Then there's a part about the Krishna cut. Says here, the badge of the monks is a single lock that hangs from a rear of shaven head. As precisely trimmed Sika is a matter of pride. Monks often cooperate in shaving one another. Hair is buzzed off by clipper, left side, leaving a bristly surface, center. Shows the bristly surface.
Yes, second photograph.
Yeah. Which is lathered up and shaved with a safety razor, right side. Even more striking than their saffron dhotis and shawls is the ISKCON men's practice of shaving their heads, with the exception of one long lock in the rear known as the Sika. The first reaction of the layman is, why do they do it? The next is, how do they do it? The Hare Krishnas themselves advance three different answers to the first question. Some say that in countries that have hot climates, the religious have always shaved their heads to ensure cleanliness. A clean body reflects a pure spirit.
One letter should be written to it. that you have taken so much trouble to this guy, Hare Krishna Mohammed. So thank you for your patience. Now we shall request you to read our books and review it. That will be real presentation of the Hare Krishna. Now you have studied superficially, and if you seriously study our book, you will get more knowledge and you will be able to give description of this movement more definitely.
Hear what else he has to say. Others insist that the style of shaving the head identifies devotees of various spiritual orders. The long sikas marks a man as a follower of Krishna. Still another group says that the head shaving simply stands for renunciation of the material world, its values and its pleasures. One or more of those reasons may be the true room. Possibly all of them have a multi-determined the Krishna cut. The how of the cut is simplicity itself. Commonly, two men cut each other's hair. Our pictures show how. Phase one of the cutting, known as the buzz off, is done with ordinary hair.
Buzz off.
Is done with ordinary hair clipper. The post buzz off effect.
This guy's made a science.
It's showing in the second picture. Next, the prickly sconce.
What is that meaning?
Prickly sconce. Prickly means short hairs, and sconce means.
People like when things are scientific like this.
It says the prickly sconce is lathered up with an old-fashioned mug and brush and shaved with a safety razor. It is considered of paramount importance that the base of the sikka be shaved round evenly. The shavee sometimes shows some nervousness about this. He gets nervous that they'll cut his sikka off. This man has caught every detail.
Good writer.
He's a good
one. So it says sconce, crown of head. It's an old term for the crown of the head.
There's a special article about Prasadam Prabhupada. It's called Food for the Gods. Of all the ways of getting to heaven or nirvana or whatever your ideal place may be, the Hare Krishna way is one of the most pleasant. Believers of this faith are convinced that you can eat your way into higher spiritual realms. Of course, this doesn't mean that food itself is sacred, and the more you eat, the holier you are. To begin with, there is a strict prohibition against the killing of animals, so meat, fish, and eggs are not included in the diet at all of the Krishna devotees. Furthermore, there are many special rules for preparing the food which may be offered to Krishna, to be blessed by him, and therefore to bring blessings to anyone who partakes of it. Should I read this whole article? The recipes given below, taken from the Hare Krishna cookbook, another good advertisement, they give you at least three or four recipes in here. They give recipes for... The recipes are for...
Anyway, he has given more pages for our movement.
He's given us 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 pages. And the whole magazine is including many advertisements. Actually, the non-advertised part is about 55 pages, of which we have 12. At least one-fifth of the book is for Hare Krishna. The other groups only have 3 pages. 4 pages. And he blasts them mostly. Some of them are really nonsense. Here's one called the Dyckman experiment. You stare at a vase.
Another meditation.
Yeah, this is another one. Dyckman experiment. Then they have one about Zen Buddhism. They show Zen meditation. Here's a Zen master sitting in front of a basketball. I don't know why.
They have a meditation they call Zen basketball. We went to one seminar once where they were teaching Zen basketball.
Here's another one. Hypnotism or meditation? A hypnotist discusses a question that many face. Because they accuse that we're hypnotizing, so they're trying to distinguish in this article, what is hypnotism, what is meditation? Then here's another one, the art of awareness. This woman is supposed to be a great transcendental artist. You can see some of her famous pictures. Here's a picture called Congregations of Souls. And here's another picture called Temple Stones. Then this is the Gansfield effect.
Ping pong balls.
It says here, the apparently pop-eyed lady is not a visitor from another dimension, nor the victim of a sudden surprise. She is the subject of an experiment into the nature of meditation and some of the effects of the processes. The ping pong ball halves present a completely continuous visual field. There is no object in it that can hold her attention. After staring at the insides of the ping pong balls for a while, she will begin to feel peaceful and serene.
Oh, actually, she does.
Oh, yeah, that's the meditation. They put the ping pong ball in, and then it describes, she will feel peaceful and serene. At the same time, she may not be able to tell whether her eyes are open or closed. She will see neither white nor black, nor any shade in between. She will have the experience of not seeing. At that point, which the subjects in this kind of...
Yeah, it's closed and not seeing is there already. What is the use of meditation?
You're not going to see very much with two ping pong balls over your eyes.
She says, the white hemispheres covering her eyes are halves of ping pong balls. The wires lead off to an electroencephalograph, EEG, that keeps a record of changes in her brainwave output. At that point, when she is not seeing, which subjects in this kind of experiment called blanking out, the electroencephalograph will record a brainwave output well into the alpha range. They also tell you how to make the Gansfield, how to cut the, it shows a ping pong ball with a knife. This guy is weird.
This thing about alpha range, this is becoming a big thing. They think that if a person gets into this alpha range of brain stimulation, then his meditation is successful.
They're trying to figure it all out, you know, scientifically.
They're trying to use all kinds of machines and wires to measure consciousness. They have one group that has tin cans attached to wires, and they hold them in their hand, and then they measure it on a machine as they meditate. And when they meditate right, the needle on the machine goes right in the middle, and they think that they've achieved perfection.
Here's an article called Travels Beyond the Body. What is it that travels, and what is it that's seen? I'm talking about traveling beyond your body. Here's an advertisement. Because I have taken the mystery out of transcendental meditation, I'll teach you to master transcendental meditation in a single evening. About the author. Now then it says, free private mantra based on your own name, selected by the great Norvell, translated by his special Sanskrit system, so that no one else in America has the same mantra twice. No other system of transcendental meditation.
It is. What is Marcy?
Honestly, yogi.
No, this is competition.
No, this is
the competition.
This man says, Norvell, for over 30 years, his unrelenting thirst for spiritual fulfillment has taken him to the most remote corners of the globe to finally become one of the few Westerners in our time who has ever gained acceptance in the equal as an equal among the holy masters of both India and Tibet. He was also mastered the scientific secrets of Western knowledge in America's most highly regarded universities. In America alone, over the past decades, tens of thousands have come to Carnegie Hall in New York and dozens of other centers of public hearing, all to hear him. He says, meditation can make this claim alone, and it's yours to keep your own mantra free, even if you return the report itself. Mail this coupon at no risk today. Gentlemen, please rush me a copy of Norvell's 5-minute demystified transcendental meditation. Demystified, taking the mystery out. Confidential report. I enclose $9.98 in full payment. I understand that I may examine this confidential report for 30 days at your risk or money back. Also send me for my own private mantra, specially selected for me by Master Norvell, and mine absolutely free, even if I return the report with every cent of my money back. It says here, these are the benefits of the mantra. One of the benefits is, and as an extra benefit of such heightened, personal magnetism, a simple shift in the focus of your daily meditations can give you great new sexual and romantic powers, new joys and love. Here's another group called Arika. This Arika costs $3,000, this process. They charge $3,000 for a 90-day course.
Part of their whole meditation is they have cocktail parties. They drink liquor, and they meet and they have these therapy. And they charge the money to go to a cocktail party and call it yoga.
Anyway, it's got a good article about us. Do you want to keep it to show guests who come, the article?
No.
Anybody who reads that magazine will immediately become attracted to Krishna consciousness. There's no comparison.
It's got the best article I've ever seen about us in great detail. It really reports the details.
This is absolutely good.
Okay, this guy's not very good.
Kutak is now, where is the key? Key? This but I want to do so.
You can see how he's cooking very he's the most expert I've ever seen. Now he knows these special preparations. He can cook many varieties of kachori.